More than security, more than success. If I should choose to own one thing, I'll take Jesus or the rest. For if I should
Book of John tonight. Book of John tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Book of John, chapter number 8 tonight. We'll start reading there at verse number 1. And the Bible says, and Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commandeth us that should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, Woman, where art thou thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. If the Lord would help me just a little while tonight, I'd like to preach on caught but not condemned. Caught but not condemned. Could you stretch your hands towards heaven and ask the Lord to help us? Father, we thank you today. Oh, Lord, we thank you today. Oh, we thank you today. Holy Ghost, come close to us tonight. Come near to us tonight, Lord. Father, we know, God, you're able. We know that you're able, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Save someone. Stir someone. Change someone in your name. Amen. Here we have a woman brought to Jesus, and she's brought in through the crowd. She's taking through everyone else, and in the midst of them, in the midst of the temple, there she's brought. Now that very act in itself would let you know that before anything spoken by anyone, that something is wrong here. This woman is being brought in. Looking at her, you can plainly see that she's not being brought because she has an infirmity. She's not being brought because she is sick of the palsy or blind or any of the other things that people are commonly brought to Jesus for. There's a different crowd bringing this woman. It's not a concerned father. It's not a concerned mother. It's not a friend that's bearing them between them on a cot. It is a group of angry men, and they're bringing this lady, and they're bringing her in the midst of the temple, and they're putting her before Jesus. And then the accusations are being made, and why all ears are open and all eyes are trained upon this young woman standing there. They say she was caught in the act of adultery, and she was accused before every person that was in that building. This young lady standing there now has everything in her life revealed out in the public. Her sins had been made known. She was caught in the very act of adultery. Amen. Now, there's some things I won't preach long tonight. I need you to help me shortly. There's some things I'd like for you to take notice of tonight. First of all, that this young lady is being discriminated against. Amen. Now, I want you to think about that. The Bible says that she was caught in the very act of adultery. So that would tell you that there are more than one involved. But yet this young lady is brought by herself. There's no mention of whose son that was that she was with. It's no mention of whose husband she was with. There's no mention of that at all. This young lady is just brought before Jesus. And really, to be honest with you, I felt like she's being discriminated against, don't you? If you're going to find someone caught in adultery, don't you reckon you ought to bring both of them to Jesus? Don't you think you ought to bring the man and the woman to Jesus? But could I take this opportunity to tell you, sin is never fair. Amen. I want you to understand, no matter how innocent it may seem or how terrible it may be and how much you feel like that you're justified in doing what you're doing, I want you to know the devil never plays fair. And you need to realize this tonight more than anything else in your life. His one desire is to destroy each and every one of us as quickly and as thoroughly as he possibly can. You see, now that this woman's brought before everybody, she can no longer hold her head up in town. Now that this woman's brought into the temple, it's no more hid. Her sins are open before everybody. Everybody, can you just imagine, amen, what she's thinking? I have been found out. Sin never plays fair. I want to talk to you tonight just a little while. Amen. After a while, you'll go about doing your sin and you'll think that it's covered. You'll think that it's hid. But before long, I want you to know that be sure your sin will find you out. I am by no means minimizing this young woman's sin. She was caught in the very act of adultery, but I do feel like it was handled the wrong way. Help me preach to you just a little while. Now, I can imagine as they lead her in, and stay with me momentarily. I can see Brother Darrell as they bring her in. They're leading her in. Her head is bowed. She is in deep, deep shame. She has been caught. Sin always brings shame. You know, Yeah, you know, you can do that to about anything. When someone does something wrong, amen, you know, it's gonna, when it's found out, they feel bad about it. Amen. You ever, you know, I've got four grand youngins, and some of them, I've never whipped, you know, ain't that bad. Amen. I probably ought to tear them up every now and then. Now, my wife might be a different case, but I'm grandpa. Papaws don't have to do things like that all the time. And so, you know, I'll come in and they would have done something. Now, all I've got to do is just sort of get on them a little bit, and they'll hang their head in shame. That's just natural. I mean, that's just natural, isn't it? Amen. That they'll hang their head in shame because they know they've been caught doing something they shouldn't have been done. Oh God, I wish sin wasn't so cruel. It's destroyed so many lives. It's destroyed so many homes and brought so much shame. Oh, the shame of being caught doing wrong. Oh God. Now this young lady, she knows what's getting ready to happen. She knows what the law says. In her mind, she's thinking, I'm getting ready to be stoned. I'm getting ready to die in just a few moments. If she had children, she's thinking, I'll never see my children again. I know she had a mom and a daddy, and she's thinking, I'll never hear mama's sweet voice again. I'll never hear daddy's voice again. I'll never feel him hug me one more time. I'll never feel mama's sweet kiss on my cheek one more time. Amen. And as she's standing there in the midst of these angry people, they bring her in and they tell her sin in front of everybody, and fear is gripping her heart. And I can imagine now as a tear runs down her cheek, and I can see her as she bites nervously on her lips. She knows she's getting ready to be condemned. She's getting ready to be stoned. She's caught in the very act. Now, there's one thing about this lady, and I want you to pay close attention to it. There is no mention of in the Bible as to whether she knew who this master was. You see, the only time they wanted to call him master is when they were trying to trick him. You see, the scribes and Pharisees, they didn't know him as master. Amen. A few hours earlier, they were probably calling him a devil. A few hours earlier, they were probably accusing him of blasphemy, but now they're calling him master. Now, I want you to know right now, that young lady probably didn't even know who this man was. She might not have even understood anything about him. She just know that she's brought in and they're asking him what to do with her. Now, I want you to notice that. Amen. I think the silence was awkward, don't you? I feel like that silence was awkward as they bring that girl in, and there she is, and they tell Jesus, Brother Tolliver, what she's accused of, and there they bring her down, and Jesus doesn't answer them. He doesn't acknowledge they said anything. The Bible does not tell us if he even looked at that young woman. The Bible just simply tells us that he stooped down and he wrote upon the sand. Amen. I can't tell you what it was. There's no reason to analyze what it was. It's not important what it was. But Jesus just stooped down and wrote on in the sand, but they constantly kept saying, "What do you say? What do you say? Tell us what you think about this woman's sin. Tell us about how terrible you think she is. Tell us about how bad that you think this young lady is." Again and again and again, from all sides of the room, "Tell us what you think." And then that young woman, or that Jesus raises up, and no doubt this time he looks at that young woman and he looks around at that angry mob and he says, "You that are without sin, let him cast the first stone." And he stoops down and he looks away. Now, I want you to know something. I want you to know something right here. I believe that Jesus had the ability to know. Amen. I believe he had the ability to know. Amen. Everybody that was standing there's lives. And even though he was stooping down and writing again or looking down and not saying nothing, I believe if one of them would have reached down to pick up a stone, he would have said to him, "Now wait a minute. Now wait a minute. Don't you remember when you stole that the other day? Don't you remember, amen, when you said that hatefully? Don't you remember when you lied? Don't you remember when you smacked your wife? Don't help me preach to you just a little while. You see, I believe even though he was bowed down, I believe even though he wasn't looking, but it maybe was not looking with his natural eyes, but I believe he was examining every heart of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that was in that temple that day, and had one of them picked up a stone, Jesus would have stopped them, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Could I tell you tonight, there he is. Now look at him. He's bowed down, and one by one, one by one, they walk away. One by one, they're gone. And finally, that woman, she's standing there all by herself. She's standing there all by herself. Amen. She's looking around, and Jesus said to him, "Woman," oh, I like that part, "Woman, where art thou thine accusers?" And she said, "Lord," I like that. Amen. Can you tell the change in that girl's heart? She said, "Lord, no man condemn me. Lord, no man condemn me." She might not have knew who he was originally, but she knew where he was now. Amen. Help me preach to you just a little while. She said, "Lord, no man condemns me." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." I want you to know, you might be caught in your sin tonight. You might be guilty of a multitude of things, but if you'll come before the Master, you don't have to be condemned. If you'll ask him tonight, amen, he will forgive you. I need to tell somebody in this building tonight, he's willing to forgive you. If you just come tonight and bow at his feet, he will no longer condemn you for what you're doing. I need to talk about this momentarily, and I'll be done in just a few moments' time. Amen. Sometimes, Brother Tolliver, sometimes it's not that we are complete sinners. It could have been somebody that's already washed, but they've done something, and that is eating at them. And even though maybe it's not been brought out publicly, they're caught in their heart. And every time they come to the house of God, they feel as if though everyone is looking at them, because there's no joy there anymore, there's no peace there anymore, and there's that fear. So when you come to the house of God, you tremble nervously. When you come to the house of God, you bite on your lips. When you come to the house of God, fear grips you because you've done something you shouldn't have done. Amen. You've done something maybe that you've really looked at, and you don't want nobody to find out, and you don't want to be brought in front of the church, and you don't want nobody to know about it. You just want to be forgiven. Is there anybody in this building tonight that just wants to be forgiven? Amen. You just want your sins. Oh God, help me right now, Holy Ghost. I feel like some people, they lose out with God because they just never can get over that moment of failure, that moment of sin that caught them when they're caught up in their own wrongdoing. Wait a minute, you don't have to leave this building, amen, just because you made a mistake and say it's all over. He's not condemning you tonight. You have an advocate with the Father, the man Christ Jesus, and you can be forgiven tonight. Tonight you can be forgiven. Tonight your sins can be washed away. I don't have no stones to throw. Brother Darrell don't have no stones to throw. We ain't looking to judge you. We ain't looking to tell you how bad you are. You might be caught up in sin, but you don't have to be condemned tonight. I've had them come to me when they've sinned and they've done wrong. I remember I was preaching a revival years ago at Brother L.D. Savage's church years ago. And we was having a big revival, and the Lord was helping us. And a young girl walked up to me. She asked, could she speak to me? And I thought, well, wait just a minute. And I did what any preacher should do in that situation. I went and got my wife. And we sat down on the steps. It was about like this. And she sat down on the altar. And as soon as she sat down, she began to sob. She began to cry. And she said to me, and I'll never say her name. She said to me and my wife, Brother Alexander, she's just a youth, a teen. She said, Brother Alexander, I've got out of church. And I have lost something that I can never get back. And she felt so condemned. She felt like she needed to tell somebody because she had lost something she couldn't get back. You see, sometimes sin brings such shame on us. We can't seem to get victory over it. And we come to the house of God and we try again and again and again to get over it, but we just can't get over it. We can't get past it. We can't get around it. We've done something that shames us. And every time we go before God, we feel like we just need to tell somebody. Could I tell you tonight, I feel by the Holy Ghost I can say this statement tonight. The only one that you need to tell about your sin is Jesus. The only one that you need to ask tonight to forgive you is Jesus. The only one that you need to bow before tonight is Jesus. And I felt like the Lord dealt with me to tell you, if you'll just come tonight, you might be caught, but you won't be condemned. You might be caught in your sin, but if you'll ask him to forgive you, he'll not condemn you. You'll walk away from this place. Some years ago, Brother Tolliver, I'm almost closing. Some years ago, I had a little girl that I pastored over in Southside. I won't call her name. She come to my church at Landmark. Sin had wore her out, just to be honest with you. Sin had wore her out. And she come, and oh, I had such hope that night for that sweet girl. Little bitty girl, she had stayed in my home with Michelle many a night. And she came that night, and I preached, and she was deep into sin, deep into sin, and God forgave her. And she did good. She did good for a few days, and I thought, we're going to really make it with her this time. We're really going to make it. But she was so bound by some things. One day she texted me. She didn't have no help at home, no help anyplace at all. And she texted me and she said, Brother Alexander, I want to, but I just can't make it. She couldn't get over being caught. You know, when you're pinned, oh God. When the trap slams shut and that little animal begins to squeal, the strongest of men don't let him suffer. They put him out of its misery, don't they? They'll put him out because it's trapped. That's what sin makes you feel like. Like you're trapped, and the devil would like nothing better than to destroy your life. But I need to tell somebody in this building, you do not have to give up just because you sinned. You don't have to quit just because you failed. You don't have to turn around just because one time. Oh, but brother, I've done it more than, I'm not concerned with how many times you've done it. I'm concerned about what you need to do tonight, and you need to come to Jesus. Can we bow our heads all over the building, please? Sometimes we're caught up into things that bind us, and we can't tell our family about it, and we can't tell our pastor about it, and we can't tell our wife about it, and we can't tell our husband about it, and we can't tell our children, and even our best friend we can't mention it to, and we're just so ashamed that we did it, and
put me in his midst.
We're so ashamed that we did it. So ashamed. What are we gonna do? Let me tell you what you need to do with that shame. You need to just come to the Lord. and let him cover that shame with mercy. Let him cover that shame with mercy. I'm here to tell somebody, the devil bullying you over your failure is over as of tonight. You don't have to do it anymore. You don't have to. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. My God, I'm talking to somebody. You don't have to let this kill you any longer. You don't have to let this destroy you anymore. You don't have to let this bring you down. You don't let this have to ruin the rest of your life. You can get forgiveness over tonight. Walk out of this building a changed person. Sir, come to your senses. Ma'am, come to your senses and come to Jesus and let him take care of that. It's put a divide there, hasn't it? Brother Darrell, I feel like it's put a divide between people.
Yes.
It's put a divide.
Yes, it has.
What was once close, there's a divide separation there now.
Yes.
There's a divide there now. It's separating homes. It's separating homes. They've
brother.
Done something they shouldn't have done. They've acted in a way they shouldn't have acted, and they're ashamed, and they can't get past it. And there's a separation there, and the spouse can feel it, and the children can feel it, and the family knows it because you all know. You've changed. Your whole personality changed. Your whole personality changed. Simply because you feel like you've been caught by your own conscience. Now you got two choices. You can sear that conscience with a hot iron, or you can come to Jesus and get it fixed right now. Could we bow our heads all over and pray, seek God earnestly right now? God's trying to talk to somebody right now and fix it in your heart. Healing's about to happen around here. You need to come right now. You need to come right now. Come. You say, oh, people will think I'm sinning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to. Let's stand all over the building. I wouldn't embarrass folks for the world right now. I am not going to bring them, Brother Darrell, and put them in the midst. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you just to come when everybody else does.
and bow your knee and bow your heart and get it fixed. I don't want to embarrass you. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world, because as soon as you step out, the devil's going to jump on their shoulders. As soon as they step out, the devil's going, now everybody in the church think you've been doing something wrong. No, only the carnal ones are going to think that one. If it were me, Brother Tolliver, I tell you what I would have done, and I've had to do it in time past. I come and I bowed my face in the altar and I said, God, please forgive me. Would you do it? I feel like we need to bow our heads one more time. Could we do that? Just bear with me for a moment. Don't lose. Don't lose what's important to you because your pride keeps you in your seat. Don't do it. Don't do it. Please don't do that. Don't let your pride keep you in the seat and end up losing your home. Don't let pride keep you in your seat and you end up losing your peace with God completely. I'm going to ask you right now. One more time, saints, could we raise our hands? I want God to have his complete will here. Maybe you're here and you don't know him. Maybe you're like that woman. You're just caught up in your sins. You don't know him. He'll forgive you tonight first. Come on. Why don't you step out and come? Why don't you step out and come? The Holy Ghost is here a moving. We're not going to get in no hurry tonight. We're not going to get in no hurry. Please come. Please come. Please come. All right. I'm going to make this as quickly as I can. If you felt like God spoke to you at all tonight, or spoke to someone you love, would you step out and come right now? Come on. Come on. Come on. I'm not with all the church. We're coming right now together. Come on, church. Let's come. Would you come? Because the Lord's a-dealing with you. The Lord's a-dealing with you right now. You need to come.